Good morning. Glad to see everyone here on this beautiful Lord's Day, and I'd like to welcome all of our visitors. Glad to have you. Many people today fix their eyes on the world. They're worried about money, health, politics, family problems, and the uncertainty of tomorrow. Even we, as Christians, can become consumed with earthly concerns. We're flesh, we're blood. We know what worry is, we know what it feels like, but we cannot allow ourselves to be consumed with these worries and only focus on the earthly things, because we begin to lose sight of our true hope. Paul here writes to Christians in Colossae and reminds them that their lives are not centered on the earth anymore. They have been raised with Christ. Their minds, affections, priorities, and hope must be set on things above. And so we must, as Christians, go back to our new life in Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Paul begins writing to the Colossians here by reminding them of what happened to them spiritually. They had been raised up with Christ. This means they're no longer dead, but alive. When we are in sin, when we are lost, we are dead. Not physically, we're still here. We're still breathing, but spiritually, we are dead. But with Christ and in Christ, we have been made alive. As we see in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised up with him through faith, and in the working of God who raised him from the dead. This does not show baptism as an outward symbol, like so many teach today. We see in places like Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. It is the moment when the penitent believer is buried with Christ. Then they are raised to walk in newness of life. So Paul here is speaking to people who have obeyed the gospel. If we want to regain the hope of heaven, we must first go back to where our Christian life began. We were buried with Christ, and we were raised into new life, to walk in newness of life. We must remind ourselves that what we have done, if we have done it this day, if we haven't, then we need to change that this morning. But we need to remind ourselves we were put to death. Our old self, our old life was put to death, and we have raised into a new life. The blood of Christ, as we are under that water, washes away our sin, makes us white as snow. And when we are raised out of that water, we are now new. We are a new self. We're no longer the old Colton, the old Nathan, the old Jennifer. We're no longer those things. We are now new. We need to act like it, conduct ourselves in such a manner. Second, we must go back to seeking things above. So once we have been buried and raised with Christ, we now need to go back. We need to seek the things that are above. In Colossians 3:1, Paul gives a command to keep seeking things above. This is not an occasional interest. It is continual pursuit as a Christian. The Christian life is not merely about avoiding hell. It is about seeking heaven. Yes, of course, when we are given snippets of what hell is like, we see those texts and it should frighten us. It should help us understand. I don't want to go there. So what do I do to get to heaven? Well, to seek things above. We need to continually seek heaven. To seek means to pursue, desire, aim for, and prioritize. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Many people seek earthly things first and spiritual things second. We need to switch those positions. Paul says the Christian must keep seeking the things above. Christians are to live with heaven as their goal. Who wouldn't want to go to heaven? The snippets we are given about heaven, about where we will be with God for eternity, sounds pretty good. Sounds better than pretty good, doesn't it? No more death, no more sorrow, no more tears. We have all those here on this earth today. But one day, we won't. Everything will be perfect. Everything will be made well. If we're not living with heaven as our goal, then we're not obeying. We're not living for Christ daily. If we allow ourselves to put earthly things first, then really we're serving another master. As Christ would teach, you cannot serve two masters, for you will either hate the one or love the other. We have put too many earthly things as gods in our life. And that's what they are. They are other gods that we worship, and we put the true God on the back burner. If you're seeking heaven, then you're going to put all those gods away. You're going to throw them away, burn them, whatever you must do. And you're going to put God as your first and only priority, to serve him, to obey him. We must go back to setting our mind on heaven. Now, Paul here moves from what we seek to how we think. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth." You know where the battle for heaven starts? Right here, in your mind. If earthly things, if Satan wins your mind, everything else will be filled with darkness. You won't be serving the true God. You'll be serving the world. You'll be serving the flesh. We cannot, as Christians, live a heavenly life while thinking about the world or like the world. So Paul here gives two commands: set your mind on things above, and second, do not set your mind on things on the earth. Now, this doesn't mean in any way that Christians are to ignore their responsibilities here on earth. Of course, we have responsibilities. Right? We need to earn money. We need to work. That's what we were created to do, was to work, not to be busybodies, not to be lazy gluttons, right? We are called to work. We are called to provide for our families, for our children. We do have responsibilities. I often tell Christians, you have multiple full-time jobs. Your first full-time job is to serve God and to obey him. That's your first main job. Your second job is to be a good husband or wife, a godly husband and wife. Your third full-time job, if you have children, to be a godly father and mother to those children, to raise them up in a godly home. And then your fourth full-time job would be your secular job, whatever it may be. So you have multiple full-time jobs. We have responsibilities that we need to take care of on earth. But we cannot allow that to take priority over our spiritual responsibilities. Because this is what earthly-minded living looks like. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their stomach, and glory is in their shame, who set their thoughts on earthly things. Notice, whose God, little g, is their stomach. Once again, we make sure that we are full. We make sure that our physical body's taken care of, hopefully. That's our first priority. And then, and glory is in their shame. Once again, their minds are on earthly things, gaining as much as they can, doing whatever they can to become rich, to have everything they need here, yet their souls are slowly dying. It's slowly dying and becoming nothing. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, and the world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. The main idea here is that earthly things are temporary. Going back to what Christ taught, we are to store up treasures in heaven, not on earth. Why? Because the treasures on earth can be stolen, destroyed. You know, my wife and I love antique shops. We went to one in North Carolina about a year ago. It was a pretty good-sized antique shop. And, you know, you go through, you have old dishes, old pictures, old toys, you know. And it really dawned on me. These things once belonged to someone years and years ago. Now they're being sold for $1, $2, maybe $10, depending. These people are long gone. And I thought, one day my stuff, whatever it may end up in these antique shops. Your stuff, you can't take it with you. When you die, you're gone. Your body's left here. Your body's buried 6 feet under, but you're gone. Can't take anything with you. Now, of course, people want to leave stuff behind, money, whatever it may be, for their children and grandchildren. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But the greatest thing you can leave behind for your future generation is Christ and a life that lived Christ, a life that prioritized living for heaven and not for earth. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may approve what the will of God is, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. The only way that we can approve what the will of God is by the renewing of our mind. Once we have been raised with Christ, change. There must be change, meaning everything about us must be clean and must be focused on Christ and the goals that we have to serve Him and to please Him the rest of our life. And when we do that, when we know that, when we have truly changed, we're going to know what the will of God is. And we're going to look to fulfill that will every single day we take breath and live. Where's our minds at today? That's a question we need to answer. Then we must go back to remembering that your life is hidden with Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, for you died, and your life has been hidden with Christ in God. This meaning, the Christian died to the old life of sin. When we look at Paul, what he tells the Galatians to do, to put off sin, to put to death sin. That's what it means. You know, when a loved one passes, we're just burying the outer shell, the body. Our loved one is gone. That body is nothing. It's just an empty shell. It's being put away. We'll never see her. Lord willing, one day we will see our loved ones again. Let me say that. But we won't see them again in this life. When we put something to death, it's gone for good. We're no longer going to see it. It's what we are to do with sin. Put it away, burn it, whatever you must do. Cut out the people or the things that cause you to go back into that old life. Put them away. You don't need them anymore. You're looking to live for Christ. It means that sin is no longer our master. In Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul here, if we know anything about Paul's past life, he was a Pharisee. He had everything he wanted. And of course, he tried to destroy the church. He tried to destroy those who bared the name Christ, only to find himself now serving the very thing he looked to destroy. And once he learned the truth, once he became a Christian, a disciple, and an apostle, he never looked back. That life, that previous life, was he put it to death. He crucified it. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's what we're doing when we have come to believe and when we obey. When we are immersed for the forgiveness of our sins, we are crucifying that physical flesh, that fleshly life that we lived. All that sin, it's being crucified. We now who raised to walk in newness of life, we're no longer that old person. We shouldn't be. We shouldn't jump back into it. I often tell people, if you've been baptized, imagine if you come out of that water and the water just turns black. Would you jump back into it? Probably not. It's like jumping back into sewage. Would you jump head first into sewage? No, I'd hope not. But sadly, people do. People think they can serve two masters. They think, well, I can enjoy the things of the world and still be faithful. No, you can't. It's impossible. The Christian life is not about adding Jesus to an unchanged life. It's about dying to sin and living for God. That's what the Christian life is about. Paul also says our life is hidden with Christ in God. What this means is our true life, security, identity, and hope are found in Christ. That's what that means. Our true life, security, identity, and hope are found in Jesus Christ. And the world may not understand that, and they won't understand the Christian. They may mock the faithfulness. They may think we are wasting our lives by serving God. Well, I would tell you, no, we're not. There's this 90-year-old man, he was interviewed, and he said, if I could relive life again, I would do it the same way. I would serve God. I would worship God, because it's worth it. And he also said, if I am wrong, I really lose nothing. But he said, if I'm right, and he said, I am, you guys lose everything. I gain everything. And it's true. What do you gain from living for the flesh, living in sin? What do you gain? You gain nothing. You gain temporary pleasure. You gain temporary satisfaction. But it's temporary. You're right back to square one. It's like putting a Band-Aid on the problem. The Band-Aid only lasts for so long. John chapter 10, verse 28, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish ever, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. The world may take many things from us, but the one thing it cannot take is Christ from the faithful. Now, we can allow ourselves to reject Christ and to go back into that old life, but right there and then, you lose everything. They may take money, they may take our homes, they may take our life, but they cannot take Christ. The apostles and all the disciples in biblical times remained faithful. They persevered. I guarantee you, as of now, they're in paradise. They're reaping what they sowed. And it's worth every, and I guarantee they would do it again. If they had another chance at life, they would do it all the same. We must go back to looking for the appearing of Christ. Of course, this verse points to the second coming. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is manifested, then you also will be manifested with him in glory. Paul here does not say if Christ is manifested. He says when Christ is manifested, meaning Christ is coming again. One final time he will be back, and we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, they also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." At this point, Christ has ascended, and an angel is telling them, "Why are you still standing there? The same way he went up, it's the same way he's coming back. And he will be back. And it could be 5 minutes from now, it could be a day from now, it could be a week, it could be months, it could be years, but he will be back." So are you living in sin? Are you living for Christ this day? You need to make a decision. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Guess what? You will have to answer for what you have done on this earth. The works, whether good or bad, you will have to answer for. And you will either hear one or two responses: "Well done, good and faithful servant, or "Depart from me, I never knew you." You don't want to hear the latter. Paul does not merely say Christ gives life. He says Christ is our life, meaning he's our everything. He should be the center of our life. He should be the one we are looking to please and obey. Why? Because without Christ, there is no heaven. Without Christ, there is no forgiveness. And without Christ, there is no resurrection hope. Without Christ, we are doomed. Without Christ, we are condemned. And we will spend eternity in hell. But thank God, Christ died and rose again, providing for all man salvation through his Son. And when we look at the statement "manifested with him in glory," we see in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, "Then when we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord." In Revelation 21:4, "And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things passed away." One day the faithful will share in the victory of Christ. The faithful. The suffering will be over and the temptations will be gone. And so this is the heart of heaven. Here's the heart of heaven: being with God forever. And so what are some practical ways we can get back to this hope of heaven? And I've said this first one so many times before. Spend more time in his word. If Christ is our everything, then daily, continually, we're going to be in his word, the very book that shows us how we are to respond to the salvation, to the grace God has given us, and to remain faithful. He shows us how we are to live faithfully. If we're not spending time in his book, guess what? You're not going to be living faithfully. You're not going to be obeying him. John 14:15, Christ says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Well, what are his commandments? They're found in this very book. Secondly, worship faithfully. Take it seriously. Take it very seriously. We are not to neglect the coming together. We are not to neglect worship. It's not optional. We need to be here together as the church every time the doors are open, every day the doors are open. Third, pray with eternity in mind. Prayer is so important. It's how we communicate with our Father. He has given us the right as children of God to approach his throne, to approach him in prayer, to ask for help, to thank him, to just be thankful for what he has done. Prayer is so important. If we're not in his word, and if we're not in, and we're not having a prayer life, you're not living faithfully. You're definitely not worshiping faithfully. Fourth, live separate from the world. Once again, Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul is very clear there. We are not to live like the world. We are to be different. We are not to conform to the world. Even Christ called his followers to be different. Meaning we are not to partake in the same activities the world says is okay. We are not to watch the same entertainment, to listen to the same entertainment. We are called to be different. We are to encourage other Christians. This is important. Once again, you're not going to get this encouragement if you miss. It's important that we are here, that we are encouraging one another every single day. Every time we're together, every single day, we should be reaching out to our brothers and sisters, encouraging them to live faithfully, encouraging them to be here more and more. And finally, remember that life is short. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised 5 minutes from now. Life is short. You know, 19 years ago, 2007, that's when I became a Christian. I was a seventh grader. And then, of course, I graduated high school in 2012, when the world was supposedly to end. I don't know if y'all remember back in 2012. And I thought, man, I'm just starting life. I'm 18. I have my whole life ahead of me. And then before I knew it, I woke up one day and I was 30. Now I'll be 33 this year, this July. Yeah, and to the young man that said that, same thing's going to happen one day. And I'm not old, by the way. I'm still a young buck. But it just happened one day. Just I blinked, and it was, my life was gone. My 18, 19, 20s are gone. Before I know it, I'll blink, and I'll be 60. I tell my wife, I dread turning 40. She always laughs and tells me, yeah, keep moving. But life is short. You may not make it to 40. You may not make it to 70. The most important thing that you can do to secure, to have security, to have that hope, is to be a Christian. To have your life hidden with Christ. To be His. Because when that time does come, when you take your last breath, you can know who you'll be with for eternity. Forget about life, the physical things of this life. What's more important this morning is that you give your life to Christ. And don't wait. Don't think you have next week, because you may not. Now's the moment to decide to give your life to Christ. If you don't know how to do so this morning, first you must hear the word and believe the word. But then you must repent of your sins, which means change. You're changing. Everything about you has changed. You're no longer that old person. You're now turning back to God. Then you must confess your faith in Christ. Confessing is important. We are not called to be ashamed of our Lord and Savior, of our Master. As Paul would say in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God." But it doesn't stop there. Saying a simple prayer, like a lot of people teach, won't save you. You must obey. And how do you obey? You are immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. We see throughout the New Testament, we see in Romans 6, we see in Acts 2:38, we see in Acts 22, we see in Galatians 3:27, we see that baptism and what it represents. It represents the death burial, and resurrection. When you are put in that water, God is doing the work. Your sins are being washed away, being buried, put to death. And the blood of Christ washes you white as snow. When you raise that out of that water, you are now walking in newness of life. But it still doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. That means every day being in His Word. Every day have a strong prayer life. Not neglecting worship. Encouraging one another. And living with eternity in mind. Placing your hope on Christ always. Or if you are a Christian and you have fallen back into your old life, you have fallen into sin and you're struggling with sin, I pray that this morning you come forward and allow the church to help you and to repent and to be reconciled to Christ before it's too late. So this morning, if there's anyone here who is not a Christian, I pray that you choose this day to give Christ all of you. So if you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.